And we return tonight to Paul's second letter to Timothy. You'll remember Timothy, the young pastor in Ephesus, facing a variety of challenges, not least among them his own relative lack of experience. And Paul writes to give encouragement to Timothy regarding the work that he is to do. We're going to read chapter 2, verses 1 through 13 this evening, but in our sermon, we're going to be focusing on verses 8 through 13, picking up where Chris left off last Lord's Day evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, listen, here is God's word. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That is God's word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that this evening we come to a God who cannot deny himself. We thank you that you are truth and that your word is truth. We thank you that you are compassionate and merciful. We thank you that you are a gracious God. And we thank you, our Father, that as we come this evening hearing your word, we come with confidence that you are a God who do not change because you cannot deny yourself. So we ask that you would speak to us through your word this evening. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget now. Maybe someone has said that to you as you go out the door on your way to work or perhaps going off to school. Don't forget your lunch. Get your lunch with you. Don't want to forget that. Don't forget that you need to stop in at the store on the way back home. Don't forget that that package needs to be picked up from the post office. Don't forget that you need to put gas in the tank of the car. Don't forget there are things that are important to remember. And as Timothy gets ready to pick up his labors as pastor at Ephesus, Paul reminds Timothy that there's something that he needs to not forget. And as Timothy gets ready to take up his labors again, and we have a sense that Timothy has been laboring there for a period of time, but as the reports come back to Paul is learning that Timothy is continuing to bump up against obstacles, to encounter difficulties, so that Timothy needs someone to be cheering him on as he goes out to the work of serving God. I hope you've got people in your life who are cheering you on as perhaps you prepare to teach Vacation Bible School or as you prepare to teach a Sunday school class or as you prepare to do this or that. I hope you've got people who are encouraging you, people who are cheering you on. Paul is encouraging Timothy. And as Paul encourages Timothy, Paul says, Timothy, here's something that you need to not forget. He says in verse 8, remember Jesus Christ. Remember Christ Jesus. Timothy, as he goes about the work to which he has been called, needs to remember Christ Jesus. Keep Christ Jesus at the forefront of your mind. The work that Timothy is going to do is challenging work. Right back in verse 1, Paul has reminded Timothy that Timothy needs the strength that is found in Jesus Christ.
The images that Paul used to illustrate Timothy's work last Lord's Day evening, the image of the farmer, the athlete, the soldier, are images that highlight the challenges, the toil that is necessary. Timothy really is confronting a task that seems absolutely formidable, but Paul, cheering Timothy on, Paul says, Timothy, here's what you need to keep in mind. Keep in mind Christ Jesus. Remember Christ Jesus. Now, Timothy might be like you or me and might be tempted to remember other things. Timothy's response might be, oh, Paul, you know, I keep remembering that time the other week when I just got absolutely tongue-tied and when it just didn't come out right. And you know, Paul, I can't help but remember the time when there was that difficult person who just really smacked me down. And Paul, I just can't forget the time I was just so nervous and so timid. My nerves absolutely got the better of me. And Paul, I just can't get that out of my mind. Paul says, Timothy, remember Christ Jesus. And I want to encourage you this evening to remember Christ Jesus. Because as Paul reminds Timothy that he needs to remember Christ Jesus, Paul is giving Timothy the kind of instruction that's vital for you and me. We may not be called to be pastors or evangelists as Timothy was, but we are called into service for the Lord Jesus. And the things that may stand out in your memory might be the failures, the discouragements, the setbacks. Paul says, remember Christ Jesus. Remember the one about whom I have preached. And Paul gives us in our verses a number of good reasons why we should remember Christ Jesus. In verse 8, we're going to see how we're in Christ Jesus. We are reminded of the promises that Jesus guarantees. And then looking at verses 9 and 10, we're going to have a spotlight thrown on the salvation that Jesus secures. And in the remaining verses, 11 through 13, we're going to see the confidence that Jesus enables, the confidence that Jesus makes possible. So those are important things for Timothy to recognize and keep in mind as he remembers Christ Jesus, and they're important things for us to remember as well. And so first of all, Paul says in verse 8, remember Christ Jesus, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Why does Paul say that to Timothy, and why does Paul state it in those words? Because Paul, in drawing attention to what Jesus has done as preached in Paul's gospel, Paul is reminding Timothy that Jesus guarantees the promises of God. In Jesus Christ, the promises of God are guaranteed, they are authenticated, they are certified, they are rendered certain and presented to us as facts in which we may put our faith with confidence and with trust. Remember Christ Jesus as preached in my gospel. The writer to the Hebrews writes to his readers, pointing them to Jesus. They are running a race, and Paul says, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus, the one who is the pioneer, the one who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. And of course, there are a number of good reasons why that writer should have directed their gaze to the Lord Jesus. And as he uses that picture of the race, and it's a marathon race, and Paul says, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. He's the one who is out in front. Keep your eyes on him. He's the one who knows the pitfalls. He's the one who's able to negotiate the various uncertainties of the path. He's the one who knows how to stop his ears to the challenging, contradictory words, the discouraging words that are spoken. He knows how to deal with those things. Keep your eyes on him. I remember when I was at high school doing cross-country running, and I certainly wasn't one of the ones out in front setting the pace. I was one of the ones who was bringing up the rear, way bringing up the rear, way beyond where you thought the rear was. That's where I was. The writer of the Hebrews says, Jesus is the one who's out in front. Keep your eyes on him. He knows where he's going. But of course, Jesus is presented not just as an example to encourage God's people. He is that, but Jesus is much more. Jesus is the one who has made certain the promises of God. And we heard some of those promises this evening. We heard the writer of Psalm 132 draw our attention to David and the promises that God made to David, that there would be a descendant of David's who would sit on David's throne. And oh my, there were times when that seemed such an improbable and unlikely promise. But you remember how God says that is going to come to pass. Remember Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, where God speaks of the one who will be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of whose kingdom, the increase of whose government there will be no end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. How is this descendant of David going to establish this extending kingdom? Well, it's God's zeal is going to accomplish this. God's the one who's determined to make that happen. When when Jesse's dynasty is chopped off at ground level, remember Isaiah chapter 11, a shoot from the stump of Jesse, there will come one. Who is that one that is spoken of? We remember Zechariah, the father of John the Baptizer, hearing of the child that's to be born, saying, God has remembered his covenant. God is faithful. God's going to do what he promised he would. And sure enough, in Jesus Christ, God has provided the one who will sit on the throne of David, so that Peter in Acts chapter 2 is able to say, God has raised him up from the dead, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. And so Paul says to Timothy, remember Christ Jesus, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Paul says, Timothy, against all odds, against every opposition, against every seemingly insuperable obstacle, God has kept his word. Jesus, the descendant of David, is raised from the dead as proclaimed in my gospel. Does God keep his word? And of course, we're beleaguered by all kinds of doubts and all kinds of questions and all kinds of uncertainties. And the devil piles on and causes us to question God's ability to keep his promises. Paul says, remember Christ Jesus, because God in Christ Jesus demonstrates that he is well able to do all the things that he has promised. In fact, you remember how in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul says, all the promises of God find their yes in him, in the Lord Jesus. That's why we utter our amen through him to the glory of God. Paul's saying, is God faithful? Does God keep his word? Amen. Yes, he does. And we're able to say that because we see Jesus, the descendant of David, raised from the dead. God, being able to do that, is then able to deal with the situations that may be discouraging to Timothy or to you and me. And of course, Paul can speak of that from his own experience. You remember how in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul speaks of how after dealing with trial after trial, setback after setback, difficulty after difficulty, he says, we were like men who were under sentence of death. We despaired of life itself. But then God, who is able even to raise the dead, God came and brought relief. And Paul, you see, is remembering Jesus Christ, the one who is raised from the dead. And Paul is applying that to his own situation. God, who is able to do that, is able to fulfill his promises to protect and care for me. He fulfills his promises to supply the grace that I need to strengthen me. And Timothy, God will be with you as you apply yourself to the work you've been given. So remember Jesus Christ, because as we remember Jesus Christ, we remember that God's good promises to us are guaranteed. They are underscored. They are certified as true because God has kept his promise to provide a Savior and has raised that Savior from the dead. God keeps his promises. But of course, Paul wants to go on. And in verses 9 and 10, Paul highlights the fact that this Jesus then secures salvation for his people. So we remember Jesus Christ as the one who secures salvation for his people. That's the significance of Jesus being raised from the dead. It gives us confidence that his atoning sacrifice is accepted by God. And so Paul speaks of that gospel going on in verse 9, a gospel for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul is able to endure difficulty. He's able to endure trial. He's able to endure the shame of being chained like a criminal because he is confident that the salvation of God's elect doesn't ultimately rest on Paul and his abilities. The salvation of God's elect rests on the Lord Jesus and his abilities. It's Jesus, not Paul, it's Jesus who secures salvation for his people. And because Jesus is risen from the dead, we are confident that his saving work has been successfully accomplished. I remember driving cattle when I was growing up on the farm. And when you've got a herd of cattle, at least this is the case with Irish cattle, it may be different in this country, so I make no guarantees. But with the Irish cattle, it was the ones up front that really were the ones you needed to watch out for, the ones who were the leaders of the pack. If you could steer them in the right direction, the others would follow along. And I can certainly remember putting in all the effort to try and stay up with the ones up at the front of the herd and to direct them into the field, into the pasture. And when those lead members of the herd made their way into the field, we could sort of step back. The rest of the herd would follow. Well, we didn't have to do anything. They just would go right on. They'd follow right along. Paul says the Lord Jesus is risen from the dead. The Lord Jesus secures the salvation of his elect because he is risen from the dead. Then those for whom he has died, they will follow along. Their salvation is assured. And so Paul is able to look at himself with his own limitations. Now, Timothy's very aware of his limitations. He's inexperienced. He's nervous. He's a timid kind of individual. He's got some health issues. And Timothy might be saying, well, I'm really not very cut out for this work. And isn't that often the kind of arguments that we bring to bear on ourselves in our service for the Lord Jesus? I get nervous and, you know, I'm not sure that I'm cut out for it. And there are others who are better able to do it, more gifted, more accomplished. And Paul says, Timothy, just hold on a moment. Here I am. I'm a prisoner for the sake of the Lord Jesus. I am in prison. I may be gifted in various ways, but I don't have my freedom. But says Paul, God's word is not bound. The salvation that is in Jesus Christ, that process of salvation is set in motion. And ultimately, it doesn't depend on us or on our abilities or on our skills. It depends on what Jesus has done. And the fact that Jesus is already risen from the dead, the fact that he has already ascended into heaven at the right hand of God, that guarantees that those for whom Jesus has died, their salvation will be secured and will come to pass. And that's an encouragement for us. We think about Vacation Bible School and the challenges of our size and the challenges of our limited personnel. I mean, we say, well, why bother? But you see, we go about that work with confidence because ultimately it's the Lord Jesus who is at work. And that applies for the other areas in which you serve the Lord Jesus as well, where perhaps among your friends you might feel very inarticulate in speaking about the Lord Jesus, or where you find yourself stretched and challenged and you feel very much, it all depends on me. Relax. It doesn't all depend on you. The Lord Jesus is the one who is at work. And so Paul says, remember the Lord Jesus. God's word is not bound. And Paul is so confident that the word of the Lord Jesus, it's good seed. It has a potency that transcends human weakness. And that good seed goes out. It's the voice of Jesus calling to lost sinners. And those whom the Holy Spirit awakens, those ones hear the voice of the Lord Jesus
and respond to it. It's the salvation that is in Jesus. We were singing earlier the words of that hymn. Judah's lion has burst his chains. He's crushed the serpent's head. Christ cries aloud through death's domains to wake the imprisoned dead. You and I can't wake those who are dead in trespasses and sins, but the Lord Jesus graciously does that. And Paul says, with that kind of certainty, I can put up with the shame that comes from my imprisonment. When Paul speaks of being imprisoned as a criminal, being bound as a criminal, Paul, the word that Paul uses there, it's not this, he's not a kind of white collar criminal. The word that Paul uses, you just don't want to tangle with that kind of criminal that Paul was labeled as. This is someone. Paul was labeled as a scoundrel. He was viewed as a rogue because he was faithful to the Lord Jesus. But even though Paul was labeled in that kind of unjust and unfair way, Paul says, you know, I'm able to put up with that because I know that God's word is not bound, that the salvation that is in Christ Jesus advances triumphantly. Timothy, what about you? Remember Christ Jesus. Remember, it's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus. And Paul has another anchor point to encourage Timothy. Remember Jesus. Jesus is the one who guarantees the promises of God. Jesus is the one who secures salvation. But Jesus is the one who gives confidence to faltering, stumbling, fumbling Christians like you, Timothy, and like you and me as well. Listen to what Paul says in verses 11 through 13. He says, this saying is trustworthy. Now, you know that in Paul's letters to Timothy, there are several points where he says this. Here's a trustworthy saying. Listen to this. Just let this one sink right in. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we have died with him, we also will live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. There's a lot of dying involved in being a Christian, isn't there? A lot of dying. We die day in and day out. Paul in Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. My desires, my ambitions, they are subordinated to Jesus. My goals, they are subordinated to his will. I have died with Christ Jesus. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31, Paul says, I die every day. There's an interesting piece of Christian testimony. I die every day. Have you died today yet? Was there a point today where you said no to something that you wanted to do because, well, you really needed to be serving someone else. You needed to be saying yes to someone else. Where you put off enjoying something because you needed to be doing something else. Paul says, I die every day. And Christians do. We're putting to death that old nature. Remember, we heard about that in Colossians chapter 3, where we're that old sinful nature. We don't play with it. We don't entertain it. We kill it, and we have to keep on killing it. And Paul says, I die every day. That process of dying to self goes on every day. If we died with Christ, says Paul, we also will live with him. Christ is our covenant head. He has risen from the dead. Because he is risen from the dead, we are raised with him to newness of life. We have died, we have entered into a new life. That's what Paul talks about in Romans. We died with him, we're raised with him to newness of life. It's a marvelous thing. Remember in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about the Jesus and the significance of his resurrection. If Jesus is still in the grave, then you're still in your sins. You're of all people most to be pitied, the most pathetic bunch in the world if Jesus is still in the grave. But, says Paul, now Jesus Christ is risen. You're not still in your sins. You have died to sin. You're alive to righteousness. So Paul says, we die with Christ. We live together with him. And then Paul encourages us to endure, to persevere. If we persevere, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. Now, we might think of Peter, and we can think of experiences in our own lives where you might say, well, you know, I denied Jesus just
just there. I kind of distanced myself from him. I didn't identify myself as a Christian when I might have, or I did something or acted in a way that may have suggested that actually I'm not a Christian. Is that what Paul's talking about here? Well, no, that's not what Paul is talking about here. When Paul speaks about denying Christ at this point, the word that he uses and the language that he uses is language that really reflects someone who has carefully looked at the Lord Jesus. The kind of people that we encounter at a couple of points in the book of Hebrews, people who have an understanding of the gospel, who have some exposure to Christ, and who say, no, I'm not going to have anything to do with him. I don't want him. He's not for me. I'm not going to recognize his lordship. That's what Paul is talking about. Paul says, if you do that, don't expect Jesus to have anything to do with you. He's talking about people who have arrived at a cold and calculated decision to reject the Lord Jesus. And Paul says, if you do that, you can't expect Jesus to identify you as one of his own people. So Paul says, if we deny him, he will deny us. But if we are faithless, here's the encouragement. If we are faithless, Timothy, yes, you're kind of hobbled because you had that bad experience and you just can't get it out of your mind. And that's caused you to chicken out of other situations. It's caused you to shy back from other opportunities. Paul says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. You see, Paul says, Timothy, remember Christ Jesus. Your salvation, your security doesn't depend on you. It depends on him. You might be faithless as a member of the covenant community, but Jesus Christ is the faithful one in whom you enjoy the benefits of salvation. Think of a ball hitch. If you've ever seen someone hook up a trailer to a truck and there's the ball hitch and you know, kind of gets popped. You know, that always strikes me as a kind of an insecure way of linking something substantial to the back of a truck. And I see that ball hitch be dropped into place. And I think, well, what happens if it hits a bump and that kind of, what happens if the load is on the trailer is kind of behind the back axle and it sort of is going up and down like yay. What happens when the truck makes a sharp turn and but you know, if you've really paid attention to that ball hitch, you'll know that the person, the operator who hooks that up will also connect a strong chain. It's kind of belt and suspenders, isn't it? So that even if that, for some reason, the ball should, the hitch should pop off the ball, it's still locked on there, locked in position by a firm anchoring chain. Paul says, brothers and sisters, Timothy, you might be faithless. You're going to have your moments of failure. But you know, it doesn't depend on you. Now, Paul's not encouraging Timothy to be faithless. He's not encouraging failure on Timothy's part. But he's saying, Timothy, it depends on the Lord Jesus, ultimately. Your security is based not on what you do, not on how well you do it. Your security is based on the faithfulness of Jesus. That's something that we were studying in our adult Sunday school class recently, that the whole Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who secures our salvation. He's the one in whom we inherit the blessings of God. He's the one who wins for us the benefits of the covenant and makes them ours. So, Timothy, yes, you've been burned. Timothy, you've been discouraged. Timothy, you have encountered a lot of fast-talking people who are able to run rings around you in terms of argumentation. You've had a few nasty experiences that have caused you to have a few sleepless nights. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake, Timothy. It's, you know, you get upset about these things. But Timothy, remember Christ Jesus. Remember Christ. Get your eyes off yourself. Remember Christ Jesus, the one who is preached in my gospel. And Paul preached Jesus Christ, not just for the encouragement of Timothy, but for the encouragement of sinners like you and me who need to remember Jesus Christ and be confident that though we might be faithless, though we might be limited, though we might have many shortcomings and many handicaps, the one who promised is faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so we look to Jesus and we're glad for a Savior like that. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel, that it is the gospel of Christ Jesus, the gospel of a faithful, covenant-keeping Son of God. Good news about a Son in whom you are well pleased. Good news about a Savior who has triumphed over death and the grave. Good news about a Redeemer who sits at your right hand with all authority in heaven and in earth entrusted to him. Good news regarding someone who has kept your covenant and who has entered into the blessings and benefits of it. Among those blessings and benefits, the promised Holy Spirit, whom Jesus pours out lavishly on his people. We pray that tonight we might experience afresh the outpoured Holy Spirit bringing to our minds, as he loves to do, bringing to our minds the Lord Jesus preached in Paul's gospel. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.